Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Let's open with a prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, God, for this night you have blessed us with. I'm really grateful for all the people that you've gathered here. And I pray that this will be a special night. The theme of the mission is that Jesus touches us, and I pray everybody will be touched exactly where they need it. I pray you'll help people to let go of the stresses, the anxieties of their life right now. Be present here, listen to your word, and may they truly be touched as they stretch out their faith toward you. So I ask your blessing upon your people, young and old, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we're not going to have Mass tonight. This is what's called a word service. And a word service means that I'll warm you up for a little bit. We'll have about 30 minutes of preaching, some music, some prayer, and I'll try to have you out of here about 8 o'clock or so. There's a lot of people here tonight. Thanks for coming. Why don't you give yourself a hand? That's wonderful. And we also had a wonderful crowd at Mass this morning. It was beautiful. I talked about prayer, and tonight I want to talk about Jesus, and he touched me. So why don't you have a seat? I'll warm you up a little. I heard a story about a married couple. They were married for 30 years. And for some strange reason, the woman always carried around a little shoebox, and she would never let the husband look in and see what was in there. Well, one day she went shopping, and she forgot the shoebox. And the husband went into the bedroom, and you know, he saw it, and he said, "Yeah, finally, after all these years, I get a chance to look." And he looks in there, and he sees three eggs and $3,000 in cash. So he didn't understand it, you know, and she finally comes home. He goes, "Honey, I looked in the shoebox, and I didn't understand what was in there. And there were these eggs and the money." She says, "Well, you know, since you looked in there, I guess I got to tell you." He goes, "Good, what were the eggs? What's the deal with the three eggs?" She said, "Well, it's simple. Every time you made a mistake, I got an egg and I put it in there." He's thinking, 30 years, three eggs, I'm a saint. And then he says, "Well, what about all this cash? What about the $3,000? What's that?" She said, "That's simple too. Every time I got a dozen eggs, I sold them and kept the money." Now, why is it that the women are laughing more than the men? Now, we don't have any ushers here tonight, but I heard a story about this usher. He's at the back of church, and he's standing there, and all of a sudden, this elderly woman came in, and she says, "Sonny, I want to sit right down in front." He goes, "No, you don't." She goes, "Yes, I do." He goes, "No, you don't. The pastor is boring. You're not going to want to sit in front. You're going to sit in the back." She goes, "Do you know who I am?" He goes, "No, who?" "I'm the pastor's mother." And he goes, "Do you know who I am?" She says, "No." He goes, "Good." Well, you're in a good mood. That's good. You know, some of you in the back might have trouble seeing me, but you know, it's so much more intimate if I'm down here. I hate to be like way up there and some guys stay there, and so the folks in the front can see me a little better. They see the wrinkles and everything, but I hope you can see me. I'm pretty tall, and I'll try my best. But anyway, hear the story about a nun. She was about 70 years old, and she worked hospice, helping the sick and dying. And one day, you know, she was driving to the hospital, and she ran out of gas. And she remembered that it was about a quarter mile back that there was a gas station. So, you know, she went to the gas station. She goes, "Look, I just ran out of gas. Do you have any gas?" And the guy says, "Yeah, we got plenty of gas. This is a gas station. However, I just sold my last container. I've got nothing for you to put it in." She remembers, you know, she was thinking to herself, and she remembered, "Oh, yeah, in my trunk I've got a bedpan." And she goes back to her trunk, and she gets the bedpan, you know, and they fill it full of gas. Now, here's this woman in full habit carrying the bedpan to her car. And these two guys just happened to be standing there looking at this nun in full habit pouring the contents of the bedpan into the car. And one guy turns to the other and said, "That car starts, I'm becoming Catholic." Are you okay? Give him a drink of water. Now modeling for you. No, actually, I want to tell you a little bit about my habit, since I poke fun at religious life. This is not a bad habit, by the way. It's a good habit. It's my religious habit. I'm a Passionist priest. Now, the Passionists have been here in Sacramento, this diocese, for over 50 years. We have, that just reminds me, if you have a cell phone, please turn it off. We've been here for over 50 years. We have the retreat center in Citrus Heights called Christ the King Retreat Center. And I used to live there for 10 years. Now I've been moved to Houston. And I live at a retreat center in Houston. I'll tell you about that in a minute. But I just want to tell you that I think you know that religious communities are hurting now. They're hurting because of lack of vocations, as is the diocese. I committed my life to Christ 15 years ago as a priest, 20 years ago as a religious. And it just keeps getting better. I always thought I was in the honeymoon period for the first 5 or 10 years. It just keeps getting better. And you gotta, thank you, I'm glad you like that. I need for you to pray for vocations. I know you are. God's doing something, I don't know what. But please don't give up on that. I baptized little Ian Sells last night. And, you know, we're praying for him to become a priest. You never know. But, you know, you got to sow that into your children and grandchildren. Talk about it. Let them know that it's an honorable thing and a good thing. In fact, I like to say, you know, you start early, subliminally. You know, you ever see every once in a while in a commercial, you know, they'll flash a hamburger, that's a subliminal message. All of a sudden, got a hankering for a hamburger. You know, what's going on there? Because you didn't see it, but your mind saw it. So start early. You know, when they're a little baby, you whisper in their ear, be a priest, be a priest. And they grow up, they go, I want to be a priest. I don't even know why, you know. Anyway, just really quickly, a little bit about my name. Some of you have been wondering about that. And, you know, how do you pronounce it? It's Cedric Pisania. My last name sounds like something you might like to eat, lasagna. Lasagna Pisania. And it is Italian. And, you know, my dad was 100% Italian, but I'm not 100%. My mom, of all things, was Czechoslovakian and Albanian. So this is what happens. You take a bowl and you pour in Italian, Czech, and Albanian, you mix it up, and this is what you get. So we're all different ethnic origins. You know, there's all kinds of different people as I look out here tonight. And it's God who gave you the gift of your ethnic origin, whether you're Irish or Black or Hispanic, Italian, Czech, Albanian like me, or whatever you are. And it's a gift. And be proud of who you are. Be proud of your heritage. It's all a gift. And then a little bit more about my name. You know, Pisania is my last name, but Cedric is not a very Italian name. In fact, it's a very English name. And the reason is because people will ask me, Cedric, you know, where'd you get that name Cedric with the last name Pisania? Well, I'm a junior. My dad's name in Italian was Cesidio Pisania. Now, imagine trying to go through school, Cesidio Pisania. It wouldn't work. So they tried to give him, it was hard enough, Cedric. They gave him the name Cedric, I'm a junior, because Cedric was kind of the anglicized version of Cesidio, kind of the closest thing they could find. So now with a name like Cedric Pisania, what do you think my middle name is? Believe it or not, it's John. It's because my dad was born on the feast day of John the Baptist. So, the reason why I bring all this up is not to just talk about me, it's because you have a name too. And your name is you ever hear your given name? You have been given a name from God. And I love what the Bible says, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew your name, and I called you. And that's so awesome. God called you from all eternity. And I think, as I preached the gospel this weekend, I think God called you here specifically to be here tonight. You heard something, or you wouldn't have come. And there's a lot of people here tonight. I didn't think anybody was going to come at first, but by the time 7 o'clock came, you're all here. And I think it's for a reason. I remember I was preaching in Folsom Prison one time, or right across St. John the Baptist in Folsom. And somebody that had just gotten released from Folsom Prison came that night, and I talked about names. And he said, Father, he said, when you talked about that, God touched me, he said, because for the last number of years, I've been a number. And I came to realize that I'm a name. And God called me by name. So I want you to know tonight that you're meant to be here. And I pray Jesus will touch your heart in a beautiful way. You know what? I think I'm going to stand up here because those folks in the back will never see me if I go down there. But I may go up and down. I don't know. But really quickly, as I conclude my introduction, we'll get into the preaching here in a second. Let me just share with you where I live in Houston. It's a 20-acre retreat center on the west side of Houston. And we have these big, tall pine trees everywhere. And it's really crazy because, you know, we have all these people on retreat, but it's crazy because we have these squirrels running everywhere, pesky squirrels. I guess you have them here in California, too. I remember when I lived in Sacramento, they're running everywhere. And I heard about these three churches that were trying, they were being overrun by all the squirrels. They were trying to figure out how to get rid of them, and they had a meeting. They were the Lutherans, the Presbyterians, and the Catholics. And so they sat down at table and said, how are we going to get rid of these squirrels? So the Lutherans, who love creation, as you know, they had a kind of a good solution. They decided not to kill any of them. So they got traps, and they got them in the trap, and they moved all the squirrels out, you know, they baited them, trapped them, moved all the squirrels out about 2 miles away, let them go. But it wasn't a great solution because about a week later, all the squirrels came back to their home. Presbyterians, I don't know if you know anything about their theology, they like predestination. That's a part of their theology. They believe in that God predestined things in certain ways. And they decided, you know what, these squirrels are predestined to be here. We better not go against God's will, and so they left the squirrels alone. But the Catholics had the best solution. They decided to baptize and confirm the squirrels. Now they only see them on Christmas and Easter. You know, and there's such truth to that, unfortunately. But I don't think you're among that group. You wouldn't be here on a Monday night. But I have to tell you, last night we had a baptism after my talk at the youth mass. And it was for little Ian, a little baby. And the beginning of the ceremony at the baptism, I make the sign of the cross on his forehead and I say, Ian, I claim you for Christ. Now most of you have been baptized, and tonight I claim you for Jesus Christ. May no evil harm you. May you always be assured of his love for you. And may he touch you in a very beautiful way. You belong to Jesus. And may nothing ever steal you from him. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A proclamation from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you.
Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and meek in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, since you're in such a good mood, I'll tell you one more joke. And by the way, we are recording this on CD. And I wanted to tell you about these two men. One was a white guy, one was an African-American, a black man. And they're in a car driving, and of all things, they were talking about the color of Jesus, what color Jesus was. And it was an interesting conversation, and the white man said, haven't you seen the pictures of Jesus, the movies about Jesus? He was white, he had a beard, long hair. And the African-American man said, no, he came from the Middle East, he was definitely dark, it's Northern Africa. And then it started to get real vehement, and they really started to argue, so much so that they got in an accident, And both of them got killed. Both were ushered up to the pearly gates right at the right same moment. And at the pearly gates, they see Jesus walking toward them. And you know what Jesus said to them? Buenos dias, señores. When it comes to Jesus, I think we have to think outside the box. See, the Gospels really are not concerned so much about what he looked like. You'll never see what he looked like in the Bible. They're not concerned so much about the color of his skin or how long his hair was or how tall he was, how much he weighed. That's not their interest. The interest of the Gospels is that we come into a relationship with him, that we come to know him, that we experience him. In the Gospel of John, he says, I call you friends. And a friend is somebody that you know, that you have a personal relationship with, that you can talk to, that you understand, that you have intimacy with emotionally, mentally, sometimes physically. And I think that's exactly what Jesus wants for us. All the Gospels, you know, as you read them, it's really clear and it's very simple to see that Jesus was a healer, that he touched people. He touched people physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. And I like to tell people, Jesus can heal you everywhere you hurt. Possibly, you know, you come here tonight and you're worried, you're anxious about the future. Maybe you've sinned and you feel separated from the Lord in some way. It could be that you're depressed and anxious or fearful. It could be your emotions are up and down, you know, whatever it is. Or possibly you have some pain in your body and you've been really struggling and really hurting. And I want to tell you, in faith and in trust, the Gospels tell us over and over again that Jesus was a healer. And the reason why I told you that joke about the black man and the white man, and I talked about how Jesus blows all our categories, is because that sometimes what can happen is you haven't experienced healing in the past and you can put Jesus into a box and say, well, this is the way he works in my life and that's the way it's always going to be and that's who he is. And I want to have you tonight go outside the box. I want to have you not put limitations on Jesus. And I want you to believe that he can heal you everywhere you hurt. I began this retreat by saying, he touched me. I think Jesus is in the business of touching people. I know that touch is so very important. I tell parents always to touch their children, hug them, kiss them in appropriate ways. And if the kids, you know, if they're acting up, you touch their experience, if you know what I mean. Doctors, for example, that touch their patients, that have a good bedside manner. It seems like the patients have a better, you know, the surveys have said, and they have statistics on this, that seems that the patient has a better chance of recovering. And touch is so very important. I already talked to you about Michelangelo and how creation was done through a touch. Oftentimes around saints, you'll see an aura. You'll see that halo. And if you had an infrared camera, if I had an infrared camera looking at all of you tonight, there would be a glow around each of you. And when you reach out to touch somebody, there's that glow, there's that aura, there's that energy, that power. That's exactly what Jesus does. He touches and he shares his virtue, his energy, his power with people. And then, of course, you know, horticulturists, and I'm not a big grower of things, but those who grow things, gardens, different things like that, horticulturists, scientists will tell you that, you know what, you have a better chance of your plants growing if you touch them. You know, they realize plants are living things. They experience your touch. And some even say, talk to your plants. Don't let anybody see you do it, but talk to your plants. Touch them and watch what happens. So what I'm trying to say is that there's power in touch. And that good things happen through touch. At Mass, for example, you know, we always have that sign of peace. It's built right into every Eucharist. And I believe the church understands that it's good to hug and to touch. Sometimes we hold hands at because we're not just alone, we're a community. And Jesus walked around touching people in beautiful ways. And some people were healed even by reaching out to Jesus. Remember the woman that had the flow of blood for 12 years? She reached out, and that's what I've asked you to do, is to extend your faith, to stretch out to Jesus, to reach out to Jesus, and that's what you're doing by coming here. Well, she reached out and experienced healing in her body. I want to ask you, what are you struggling with tonight as you come here? Jesus is a healer, and he can heal you everywhere you're hurt. And I'm not here to tickle your ears or just tell jokes. I really want you to be touched. So think about, where do you need healing? Is it in your body? Are you experiencing physical pain? Do you have heart trouble, high blood pressure, arthritis? Do you have liver, kidney problems, trouble with Alzheimer's? I believe that Jesus wants to touch you tonight. What about your mind? That's such an area where we just, people have trouble sleeping at night. They're just worried and thinking and fearful, anxious, thinking about the kids, thinking about their future. How am I going to die? Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. And there's nothing like the peace of Jesus. And the peace that he gave, I think about that Gadarene demoniac, you know, who was crazy, you know, and Jesus touched him and he was clothed in his right mind. And then, you know, emotions can really cause problems. We have to manage our anger, depression, different impatience. Oftentimes people, you know, get angry and they just feel out of control and then they let that bitterness control them. But Jesus can touch you in your emotions so that you can be a person of stability, a person who is balanced. You're not up and down all the time depending on the whims of circumstance. But you walk with stability. That's, I'll tell you, I need people in my life that are stable, not up and down, not when you come up to them and you're like, how are you going to be today? I need people that are balanced and stable. They're so much easier to enter a relationship with. Then, of course, spiritually, Jesus primarily touched people spiritually. He touched people physically and emotionally and in their minds so that spiritually they would have an intimate relationship with God, people that were separated. You see, Jesus came for outcasts. And I really believe that the church ought not to be a gathering of the righteous, of perfect people. It ought to be a hospital. It is a hospital for hurting people to come and to experience the healing wound, healing in your wounds and for your wounds. And so what I'm saying is, you know, whatever sin you might have or whatever might be separating you from God, Jesus can touch you there. If you feel separated, I mean, he can bring you closer. And I'm talking from experience. As I've told you this weekend, you know, I had that touch in Modesto. I was touched when I was 19 years old. The Holy Spirit, I'll talk about on Wednesday night, continues to touch me with the power and the glory of God. It's wonderful. And I believe that that's why you came here tonight. So I simply want you to be open to the touch of Jesus. He promised us where two or three are gathered in his name, and there's like 200 or 300 gathered in his name here tonight plus. So he's here. I mean, believe it or not, he is here, the risen Lord. So I'm just going to simply invite you to open yourself up right now to a touch. I don't have the ability to go around and touch each one of you. Actually, you know, something funny happens to me when I preach, my hands get cold. You wouldn't want me to touch you. Because I get nervous. I guess all my blood goes up here and my hands get real cold. But it's Jesus. It's not me touching you, it's Jesus. But I want you to do this. Remember what I said at Michelangelo's creation? God was reaching out to Adam, but Adam was reaching out to God. And those of you who are listening by CD, you can do it right where you are. I'm just simply going to ask you to take your hands, put them on your lap with open palms. It's kind of a receptivity posture. You know, much like you get your radio, you got to put the antenna up so that you can get the airwaves that are coming by. I want you to close your eyes and realize that God has called you here by name tonight. What are you struggling with? Where are you hurting? Lift that up to God. Lord Jesus, thank you that you're here with your risen presence. Just as you walked the Sea of Galilee and you walked the roads of Jerusalem, we trust that you're here right now. And Lord, we hurt in so many ways. We need your healing. I pray for those who are troubled in their mind, who are anxious and worried all the time, and they've just given up, they've resigned themselves to the fact that that's just the way it's going to be all the time. Jesus, Prince of Peace, touch them right now. May they sleep well, trust in you. I pray for those who are afraid, depressed, guilty, feeling ashamed, those who have rejected themselves. Touch them right now, Lord, right where they need it. I pray for those who are struggling in their relationships, marriages, children, with themselves, as I said. Lord, touch them right now. In faith, we believe. And I want to pray, Lord, for those who are struggling with their bodies. We all have aches and pains, and we know that you can heal us and give us new life. We believe. Touch people with arthritis right now. Touch people who have back problems right now. People who have muscle spasms. Jesus, touch them in a beautiful way. High blood pressure. Touch people with any disease. Jesus, you are our healer. And in a special way, Lord, I pray for all those who spiritually feel separated from you, and they've come to the mission tonight because they want to know you and experience your love. I pray that this night will be a new beginning for them and that they'll never be the same.
Please listen next time for the conclusion of Father Cedric's inspiring message. We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God, and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live, live with passion.